Here's our
Welcome to the Moment of Truth broadcast with Pastor Josh Hickey. This broadcast is a ministry of the Truth Independent Baptist Church located in Adamsville, Alabama. We want to thank you for tuning in to this broadcast and hope you receive a blessing from the precious Word of God. Now stay tuned for a message from the pulpit of the Truth Independent Baptist Church.
Luke chapter 21, and we'll begin our reading at verse number 1, please. And he looked up and saw the rich men casting their gifts into the treasury. And he saw also a certain poor widow casting in thither 2 mites. And he said, of a truth, I say unto you that this poor widow hath cast in more than they all. For all these have of their abundance cast in under the offerings of God. But she of her penury hath cast in all the living that she had. Now let's bow our heads for a moment and go to the Lord in prayer and ask God's blessing on the message this morning. Our Father, we bow in your presence. We're humbled. And we're grateful for the great privilege to be in your house this morning, dear Lord. Lord, we pray that you'll be in the midst. We ask for your guidance and leadership. And may the Holy Spirit have free reign in the hearts of the people. And God, we pray that you'll speak to us through your word. And God, would you use your humble servant? Illuminate our mind. God, would you loose our tongue that we may preach with holy unction and that we might help your people in some way. Father, if we have failed you, God, we've erred. Lord, we've fallen short. We ask that you would reprove us, rebuke us, instruct us, encourage us. It's our humble prayer. Do what only you can do for the next few minutes, dear Lord. And we'll be humbled at what is accomplished. We ask these things in the name of our darling Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We humbly pray. Amen. In these four brief verses, the Lord is teaching us a lesson in giving. I think the main focus of the text is that the Lord emphasizes that, especially in giving, God judges the quality of the giver and not necessarily the quantity of the gift. Now, if you would allow me to unfold the roadmap, and I want to draw us a line of travel through this passage of Scripture, and we're going to make a few stops along the way. But I want to get us from point A to point B, and we'll deal primarily this morning with three thoughts. I want to look, first of all, at Christ's observation. The Lord was standing off in the distance and watching this scene unfold before him in the temple. And so we'll look at Christ's observation, but secondly, we'll notice the contributions offered. Both of these parties give offerings. And then third and last of all, we want to deal with the complemented obedience. Now, let's begin this morning, first of all, with Christ's observation. There is a little word that just seems to leap off the page at me in both verse 1 and verse 2. And it's the little word saw. S-A-W. Several things that I want to notice here in the text that Christ saw or that he observed. Firstly, consider the parties involved. And he looked and saw the rich men. Verse number 2 begins by saying that he saw a certain poor widow. Here Christ sees two parties involved. We're told that these men were rich and that this widow was poor. The rich men most likely were interested in personal gain. But this little widow has dedicated herself unto God, and it shows in her actions. The sobering thought in this is that Christ was personally watching them as they gave. Now, that'll sober you up when you think that Christ is in the corner and he is observing our actions, not just in our giving, but in every facet of life. He sees us, and the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. And Christ not only sees our actions, but he knows our heart. He sees both parties involved. And I think that would benefit us more than anything. And that is to realize that Christ himself is watching how we give. And not just how we give, but what kind of heart spurns from our giving. Oh, friend, Christ is aware of why we give. And he is aware of why we do not give. Were it not for charitable, generous, faithful people giving of their tithes and their offerings in a systematic, methodical way, the church would stagger and the church would suffer. Now, I know we have visitors this morning, and it's not going to hurt any of us to hear a message on money. But the message this morning is much more than about money. It's about our heart. The title of the message is Quality Over Quantity. And Christ observed the two parties involved. But I would say not only the parties involved, but notice the payment invested. Without a doubt, both parties involved saw the need. And both parties accepted the responsibility of giving. Without question, there are some similarities between the two parties. But the difference was that both parties' reasons for giving were not the same. The giving of money is never wrong, but the giving motives can be wrong.
Right, amen.
Maybe some people give that they might have an advantage, or feels that they're given an advantage over another who may not be able to give quite as much. I think this may be the case for the rich men.
Yeah,
that others might notice them.
Yeah, right.
I'm sure they went to their bag and they pulled out the gold and they waved it around and made sure that everybody knew how much they were casting in. And these rich men had different motives than the little widow. Maybe they were giving that they might be socially accepted. Maybe they were giving as a competition and trying to outdo one another. We don't know the motives for giving, but we do know that this little widow had the right heart in giving. And these rich men obviously did not have the right heart in their giving. There was a man on vacation one time, and he was walking outside his hotel. And all of a sudden, he heard the screams of a woman. And she was kneeling in front of a child. And the man knew enough to determine that the child had swallowed a coin. And it had gotten lodged in its throat. And so he grabbed the child by the heels, and the man held him up and gave him a few shakes like this, and the quarter dropped to the sidewalk. And the woman was so relieved, she said, "Oh, thank you, sir. You seem to know just how to get it out of him." She said, "Are you a doctor?" He said, "No, ma'am. I'm with the Internal Revenue Service." Now, it's hard to be happy about having to pay taxes. And God knows that's something we all have in common. Death and taxes. And they don't care who you are. They don't get it out of you. And so I've never been joyous about having to pay taxes. But might I say that when it comes to giving unto God, I want to give with a joyful spirit. I want to give with a smile on my face and know that I am investing in the work of God and the treasures of heaven. He has given us every good thing. Why would we not be quick to give back unto Him who has given us so much? I'm reminded of the passage of Scripture in the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 9 and verse 7, where the Bible says, "Every man, according as he hath purpose in his heart, so let him yield." Now the next part says, "Not grudgingly." In other words, grumbling and complaining. Boy, I sure needed this. Hey, listen, the work of God needs it worse than you do.
Amen.
And there's a God who's big enough to give it back tenfold.
Yes, sir.
Grudgingly or out of necessity. In other words, if we don't give this, everything's going to crumble. We should have to give out of necessity. But God loveth a cheerful giver. We ought to be excited to be able to give to the Lord and to His work, because we know that we're not investing in temporary things, but we're investing in eternal things. But not only in this matter of giving money, but I'm reminded of the old hymn that we would sing quite often in days gone by. And the old hymn says, "Is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid? Your height does the Spirit control? May I say, have you invested your life in the work of God? Or is your Christianity more of a casual Sunday morning type of thing? Is your whole self, your whole being, your whole life invested in the work of God? Is your affections set on things above? Are your eyes turned toward heaven? Or is it simply something that we have on the back burner and we do from time to time when things work out? Is your all on the altar this morning? Are you depositing your time into the bank of heaven?
Amen.
Does God have your undivided attention? Or Sunday morning is the only time that you seem to show interest?" I'm reminded of the text in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 when Paul made reference to the Christians at Macedonia, and their giving had exceeded the expectations. And he gives the reason for that in verse number 5 of the chapter. He said, "And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave themselves to the Lord.
Amen.
And unto him by the will of God.
Amen.
I say, when God has you, he won't have any problem, brethren,
Amen.
Getting your money.
You're right. Good call,
now I know this isn't a shouter out message, but that's a good place to say amen.
Amen.
When God has you, you'll invest in his work. I saw a picture this week of a great old preacher. His name was Stinnett Ballew. And he's with the Lord now. He's in heaven. But a mighty preacher of the gospel. And I saw this picture of Brother Ballew with his Bible under his arm. And he had a smile on his face. And he was standing in the middle of an oversized offering plate. The offering plate was about this big. And it was laid out in the aisle. And Brother Ballew, just as big a grin as you could ever imagine. And he's standing there in the middle of that offering plate. And I thought to myself, my, what a picture. And to think that if we would simply give our lives and our hearts and our dreams to Christ, he wouldn't have any problem getting anything else out of us. Whether it be your time, your tithes, or your talents, the Lord can get it out of you if he can simply have your heart.
Amen. That's right.
I say the text of this widow woman gives us the picture of a woman who had first given herself over to the Lord.
Amen.
In this text we find that all gave some, but only one gave all. You say, what was the difference? The difference was that it did not cost these wealthy men anything to give. There was no sacrifice, man. A penny was the same as 100 to them. Meant nothing. It cost those wealthy men no sacrifice, but it cost the little widow everything that she had. And that is the difference in the eyes of God. And not, I say, that too many have counted the cost and came to the conclusion that the price is simply too high, too expensive, and they've hung a price tag on their life and they refuse to give it to the Lord. And so, we see here Christ's observation. He sees both parties and the offerings they gave. But let me say a word, second of all, not only about Christ's observations, but consider the contributions offered. We see in this two distinct differences. Now, follow me. Watch in your Bible, verse number 4. When Christ made this comparison, he said, for all these have of their abundance cast in under the offerings of God. Notice, but she of her penury hath cast in all the living that she had. Now I looked up the definition of that word, penury. And it simply means an oppressive lack of resources. Are severe poverty. Now, we can look at those, at some people who do not give at all in the light of such a woman and say, what's your excuse? Here's a woman the Bible describes giving out of severe poverty. There's something you'll notice about our blessed Lord. He always has deep love and affection for poor people. I suppose that's why he loves me so much. And I guess it's why it blesses our church so much. Amen. There's no millionaires in here. There's no overly wealthy people here. But God loves to work through the weak things and the base things and the simple. Because through those things, God gets the most glory. And he'll not share his glory with anything or anybody. And so God can take some poor people and do big things that his name might be glorified. I see Christ always had deep love and affection for poor people. But two classes of people that he always gave his attention to, and that was the little children and the poor. The down in the outs, the castaways, the people that nobody else wanted. In this we see that God is able to take little and make it big. And God help us that we ever snub our nose and look down our nose at one who is down and out, and one who may not be as fortunate as we are, one who may not have it all together. I say Christ has a deep affection for them, and we ought to love them and embrace them and help them in their time of need. God help us that we get so high and mighty, and we walk around with our nose stuck up in the air. If it not had not been for the grace of God, we would all be in that condition this morning. But God had love for you, and he had love for me. And thank God, something in his heart went out to our misery. And he saved us when we didn't deserve it. Christ is interested in the down and the out. I was reading not long ago about the temple area. And there were several sections or courts. You had the Gentiles' court. You had Israel's court, the women's court, the priest's court, and then the sanctuary itself. And the Lord, it seems, had retired into the women's court, and he had sat down. And it just so happened to be that in the court of the women, that there were three large type chests that were down like big trumpets. And the people gave to the temple, they would cast in their gifts, their silver and gold or what have you, into these big trumpets. And the Lord was sitting there watching the people as they gave. I can see him sitting out near the garden, out on a bench, and he's watching as they come in and they go out. He watched the affluent. He watched the rich. He came by giving. They came and gave their great amounts. And no doubt the people who were passing by in the temple were impressed by the rich offering. They might have looked at those two little mites and they must have thought, what a meager, simple, meaningless, insignificant offering. What is that going to accomplish? And she cast into one of those trumpets. And you know, I imagine the trumpets were made out of brass or some type of metallic. And when the rich men opened up their bags of treasure, dumped them in, the longer that it sounded, the tinkling and the thud, and the longer that it sounded, the more people sat up and took notice. Oh my, we got a big wheel in the house today. Aren't you glad we don't give like that? And they'd sit up, perk their ears, and boy, listen to that. And what do you think when that little widow came by and her two simple mites had threw them in and barely made a sound? And people thought, what in the world would something like that accomplish? But the Bible said it was her entire livelihood. And the Lord noticed it. I'm reminded of that great old song. little is much when God is in it. And I think the Lord said, hey, fellas, nudge those disciples and said, you see that right there? That widow's given more than all of these businessmen and these CEOs and these lawyers and these dignitaries. She has outdone them all. Because it's in the quality, it's not the quantity. And God can take a meager amount, and God can expand it, and God can enlarge it, and God is able to take little and make much out of it.
Amen.
I'm reminded of a young man one time who came to the Lord and said, what must I do to have eternal life? Now, this was a young man that was well-to-do. And God just looks right down in his soul. Now, listen at me. God looks down in his heart. You know, Christ's eyes can penetrate and go right through this skin and these bones and this body and look down and see the confines of that heart. And he's got X-ray vision. And he looks down in that heart and he sees this young man who's crying out for help. And God looks down in your soul like he looked down in a well.
Yeah.
And God knows everything that's in there.
Yes,
and the Lord said to him, if you want to follow me, sell all your possessions and come and follow me. Now, he didn't do that because that's a teaching and a principle in the Bible on giving. He did it because he knew he was dealing with a young man that loved his gold more than he loved his God. And God put him to the test. Now, that's not the basic teaching in the Bible on the matter of giving. God didn't tell you to sell all that you have. The basic teaching in the Bible is that a Christian is to give of their tithes and their offerings on top of their tithes.
Amen.
Malachi chapter 3 and verse number 10. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse that there might be meat in mine house. Now you know what the next part says? And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. And he said, there'll not be room enough to receive it. Now what about that? You know that's a challenge from God. God said, put me to the test. For what measure you mete out, the same will you be given. So if you measure out God a little old thimbleful, don't be surprised when God gives you back a little old thimbleful. If you count every dollar down to the cent and squeeze every bit of it you can get out of God, don't be surprised when God gets a little tight-fisted with you. Amen. You know, 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 2. Now, this is the Apostle Paul. So you have to take it up with him. But he says, upon the first day of the week, that Sunday, let every one of you, you and you and you and you and you and every one of you, he says, lay by him in store. There's that storehouse. Set it aside as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. This is God's way. Now you believe that book, don't you?
Amen.
Amen. You believe that Bible?
Yes, sir.
Now, is that not what God said? God said, this is how my work and my people are going to be supported. It's through the giving of God's people. That's the way it's accomplished. I hear people try to justify things. Now, just buckle your seatbelt for a few minutes. It's preaching time.
Yes, sir.
And I know it's not a typical Sunday morning sermon, but God save us from typical Sunday morning sermons.
That's right. Amen.
Amen. I preach for the need of the hour. And what God lays on my heart, I don't care if it's Tuesday night, bless God, I'm going to find a way to preach.
Yes, sir. Amen.
But the Lord said to lay it up. And people try to justify it. They say, well, you know, preachers are getting rich in all this sort of business.
Yeah.
You think I'll give a flip about some false prophet, silver-tongued reprobate who's robbing God's people of their money and preying on the innocent? I'm not talking about these wolves in sheep's clothing who steal from God's people, amen, and talk them into buying $60 million jet airliners.
Oh, wow.
I'm not talking about them bunch of fruitcakes.
Yeah,
I'm talking about real men of God.
Amen.
I'm talking about real preachers, real churches, real people trying to do something for God and help people. And trying to win souls for the Lord, there's only one way it's going to be supported, and it's going to happen, and it's through the giving of God's people. And if we back up on that, and we hold back on God, you, my friend, are affecting His work. And I want to affect God's work in a positive way. I don't want to keep from God's work. And God doing His bidding, but people try to justify it. They say, preachers are getting rich. And all that preacher cares about is money. Money, 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 money. Some of them do. Some of these jacklegs out here just don't want to work. That's what their problem is. But bless God, if you're going to preach it straight and preach it right, you ain't going to get rich doing what I'm doing this morning. You ain't going to get rich. This isn't true in the first place. Some may, but that has nothing to do with it. I'm going to say this. A preacher that doesn't tithe his income is not fit to be a preacher.
Amen.
And he ought to get out of the ministry.
I agree. Amen.
He ought to close his Bible and never preach it again. He's a hypocrite. And he's worse than a modernist who would teach people to give and won't do it himself.
Amen.
That is not the issue. The issue is that God has laid down a clear path in His Word that a Christian ought to follow, and God expects you to walk that path.
Amen.
Now I'm thinking of a man in the Bible whom the Lord called a generous man. I'm talking about a man by the name of Barnabas. What Barnabas did was such a great act that Ananias and Sapphira, you're familiar with those names, they were not honest about it. And you know what Ananias and Sapphira did? They said, "My, look what Barnabas did over there. Look, go sell the land. And we'll keep back a big chunk of the money, and we'll give some, but we'll say that we're doing the same thing that old Barnabas did." But you know the story. What happened to Ananias and Sapphira? God struck them dead right in the middle aisle of the church, and a couple of old boys drug their carcasses out in the back and buried them. Son, you had to be tough to go to that church. Amen. I mean, they just drug them out and buried them. Didn't have a funeral or nothing. I mean, Peter said, you lied to the Holy Ghost, and God struck them dead.
Amen.
Somebody said, oh my, preacher, times are hard. Woe is me. Come on now.
Go ahead.
Blue, despair, and agony. If it wasn't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. Oh, times are so hard, preacher. I mean, my little babies are gone without milk and they ain't got no diapers. And, it ain't as bad as you make it.
Right,
amen. It ain't as bad. Oh, the first thing they do, you know, when somebody gets in that frame of mind, the first thing they do is stop giving their tithes to the church. And they cut back on them tithes. Well, I didn't get to go a few Sundays, and so those were freebies. I told y'all buckle up, amen. I hope our visitors come back. I really do. I'm glad you're here. Praise the Lord. But I'm preaching to the church, amen. Trying to help us. Well, I didn't get to go a few Sundays, and guess those were freebies. Well, there's no freebies on the light bill.
Yeah, how about that? Good preaching.
I mean, there's no freebies on the water bill.
Yes, sir.
The insurance payment, they don't just excuse that once every 3 months. No freebies here. Now, when I first got saved, they told me, even as a young child, you know, children can tithe.
Amen.
You need to teach them. Let them throw a dime in the offering plate if they make a dollar.
Yeah.
Start teaching them. And they told me, said 10% of everything you make belongs to the Lord. And I said, now that's fine to me. That's a pretty good deal.
Yeah,
God asked for 10%, let you keep 90.
Yeah, how about that?
God is good enough to let us keep 90% of it and ask for 10. And I'm here to tell you that it comes back on you, folks.
Yes, sir, you're right.
I said it before. You just go ahead and be tight-fisted with God. And you keep robbing God. And you keep cheating God. And keep holding back on the Lord. And it'll come back to you. You just go ahead and mark it down. As sure as your name is what it is, you will reap what you sow.
Amen.
Now you just have to say amen or oh me. It's okay to have it. Ain't nothing wrong with having money. You get it honestly. I hope everybody sitting in this building this morning gets rich. I mean that. I hope every one of you would turn into millionaires. But God knows He couldn't let you be a millionaire because He ruined you. Some of us can't manage what we've got. But it ain't wrong to have it. You know, you can take any toddler in this church building this morning and hand them a $100 bill, and you know what that toddler would do? They'd rip it up to shreds. You know why? They have no concept of money. Money means nothing to a little baby. And I remember when I really got it right with the Lord, that's the same way I felt. Like a little child. And until you become like a little child, I don't think you'll ever have the faith to serve God.
Amen.
And you need to get to that place with God. Everything that is important in life, money cannot buy. You ever thought about that? Health, love, home. I didn't say house, I said home. Everything good in life, money cannot buy. You know how you tell you're getting backslid? Now just listen to me a minute. You know how you tell you're getting backslid? When you pull your tithe out and you think, my goodness, that's a lot. Or that seems too much. I need to recount this and make sure I'm right on this thing. Should I really be giving that much?
Yeah.
I gotta rethink of this and Get your ink pen out and go to figure and get your calculator out. I mean, listen, we always give more than our 10%. And I'm not saying that to brag. It's just the truth. We give more than our 10%. Listen, friend, I'm not saying that that's what you ought to do, but I know I'm getting backslid when I feel like I don't want to give it.
Amen.
That's the first thing you get stingy with is your money.
Amen.
But if you're not paying your tithes to this church like you're supposed to, you're already backslid. You're not right with God. Stop kidding yourself.
That's right,
amen. Amen. Now, I don't look at tithing records. I could care less.
Amen.
But God's going to provide the money anyhow. But if you ain't tithing like you're supposed to, you're not right with God. Now, you just help yourself. You get stingy with your time and then your willingness to work, and it goes on from there. And I've talked to some people, they're paying their tithes and they're putting it where it belongs. But there are some who are, listen, they're so stingy and they're so greedy, they make $110 in a week, and your tithes are $11 right on the button. People put it on there. Down to the very cent. My soul, don't be so stingy.
Yeah,
if you made $138, your tithes would be $1,380, right? $138, 10%, $1,380. Would it really kill you to round that up to 15? I mean, let's be serious now. I mean, would it kill you to give $1.20 offering? My goodness, there's a God in heaven that's big enough to take care of us. He's the one that gave you the $138 to start with. Bless your heart. Listen, if you're right with the Lord, that doesn't bother you one bit. But if you're not doing it, you say, well, here we go again. Go ahead. Amen. All the preachers talk about money, money, money. The only ones that this bothers is the ones that don't do it.
Amen.
The guilty dog always barks. I'm just trying to say to you that God blesses the generous person. The one who gives out of a sacrificial heart and holds nothing back from the Lord. Now, let me give you the third and final emphasis. Some of you said, thank God. But we've seen Christ's observations. He sits back and watches as the rich man and the widow give. He sees not only the Christ's observations, but we've seen the contributions offered. Both parties give into the temple. And then third and last of all, notice the complimented obedience. Now look at your Bible, please. Verse number 3. The Lord says, of a truth I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast in more than they all. And the Lord was moved by this. This was precious in His sight.
Amen.
These rich men received their reward on earth.
Yeah.
Because the Lord knew their motives for investing their money into the treasury. But Christ recognizes this poor woman's sacrifice and blesses her accordingly.
Amen.
God told the prophet Jeremiah, in Jeremiah 17 and verse 10, and thank God, this is still in the Bible. He said, I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins. even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. See, the Bible says that our actions are weighed, that God has an eternal scale, and the Lord looks down and says, now, what about that? Look at her. Do you see what she just did? He didn't just look at what you do. He looks at why you do it. And he weighs the actions. And he says, well, you did this. I think I'm just going to bless you over here.
Amen.
Well, you did that. I think I'm just going to throw you a blessing in that direction. I think I'll just move this here. I'll move that there. Now, that's not why we do it.
Amen.
You don't do it to get blessings. We do it because we love Him.
Amen.
I think of another instance like Elijah when he went down to Sidon. And the little widow of Zarephath was there. And she gave him everything she had in the house. And said, after this, we'll just starve together.
Amen.
She said, here's me and my little son. And I'll just scrape the last bit of meal out of the bottom of this barrel. And if you want it, Elijah, here it is. And she made him a cake. And God's book said that the widow gave to Elijah the last she had. What there was to eat in the house.
Amen.
But the Bible said every time she went back to the barrel,
Amen.
Thank God she looked down in there, and there was some more meal.
Amen.
And there was some more meal.
Amen.
And thank God that cruse of oil was full of oil.
Amen.
Thank God.
Amen.
And it never wasted away.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I say thank God.
Amen.
He will never forsake His own and have His seed bag and bread. Amen. Oh, listen. I want to close with this. I remember hearing the story of this man during the days of the Depression. He'd give $100,000 into the work of the Lord. And the crash came and he was affected just like everybody else was affected. You know, when God sends a disaster on a country, everybody's going to suffer for it.
You're right.
That's just part of the judgment of God on the nation.
Yeah.
This man had given $100,000 to the work of God. And the crash came, and everybody suffered. And somebody said to this man, don't you wish you had that $100,000 now? And the man said, oh, no.
Amen.
No, sir. He said, that's the only thing I've saved out of all of this.
Amen.
What I gave to God.
Yeah. Amen.
And some of you are looking at this thing all wrong.
Right.
You're looking at the here and now. Mm. But if you will focus on the future, and you look at the long haul, that is all you're going to save, is what you invest into the things of God. Because when you give to God, you are laying up treasures in heaven. Now what about you? Do you want to do what the Bible says? Do you want to be obedient to the Word of God? Now, God is not asking you to do anything He hasn't asked that He hasn't done Himself. God our Father demonstrated it in His giving because He gave the very best that heaven had to offer. He gave what He loved the most, His darling Son, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And He paid the ultimate sacrifice.
Amen.
This little widow gave all that she had. And I think the reason it affected the Lord to the extent that it did is because he knew his Father had given all that he had.
Yeah, amen.
The jewel of heaven, Jesus Christ. Maybe this is an area that's lacking in your life. And it's an area that must be addressed. God requires it of his children. But give with a cheerful heart, and it won't feel like a chore. Amen.
Believers are partakers.
You have been listening to the Moment of Truth broadcast from the Truth Independent Baptist Church with Pastor Josh Hickey. If this broadcast has been a blessing to you, please take this time to write us at P.O. Box 190, Adamsville, Alabama 35005, or give Pastor Hickey a call at 205-434-0600. Thank you for listening, and tune in next time for another message from the pulpit of the Truth Independent Baptist Church.
Are partakers of the benefit.